Bond yields in the developed world are spiking all at once. Could this be the beginning of the end of the fiat monetary system?
How can they continue to issue more debt in this environment? That's what financial meltdown will look like.
These clowns can't protect anything. The hacks, the leaks of all your data are eventually going to find their ways in the hands of the wrong folks. No one wants to live through this.
Bond yields in the developed world are spiking all at once. In the U.S., the Fed and Treasury seem at odds, and Trump is throwing fuel on the fire. Could this be the beginning of the end of the fiat monetary system? Hey, everyone. Welcome to another episode of Bitcoin Banter. I have Tony and Katie here. But before we jump in, make sure you smash that like button. Be sure you're subscribed to the channel and stick around for our Bitcoiner of the Week. All righty, Katie. Credit markets are in turmoil. Talk about what's going on here. The developed world is seeing bond yields surge to decade highs as sovereign debt crisis concern grows. What do you think is going on?
Yeah, so the yields have all spiked up, which means the bond prices are down, and the bond prices are down because of lack of demand. So a bond sell-off hitting the whole global economy at the same time, and not just, you know, not just the US or the UK. And the real story here is fiscal anxiety, if you like. So fiscal refers to government spending and borrowing, and investors are doubting that government can control their deficits. So there's too much new debt, and the older, cheaper debt is rolling over at 4 or 5%. There's no credible plan to fix the problem. We've got basket cases like France, who can barely pass a budget. The UK is stretched. And then you've got Japan's new PM, who wants to spend more and grow what is now the world's biggest pile of debt. And then what happens is the big bond market players become what is known as bond vigilantes, in that they are imposing the financial discipline that politics won't. So are we approaching a financial meltdown via this particular bond crisis? Well, in 2022, the UK gilt crisis did show us one way that this kind of problem plays out. So we had the then new PM Truss, who announced a bunch of unfunded tax cuts. As a result, the UK gilts collapsed. Pound sterling hit all-time lows. And then we had leveraged pension funds who started getting margin called and were forced to sell. And, you know, you have this liquidation cascade, which just makes the problem even worse. And eventually the Bank of England were forced to abandon their inflation fighting because, of course, it was 2022 and inflation was just crazy back then. And they had to buy the bonds to stop it spiraling completely out of control. So in short, it was a complete shit show. And that's what a financial meltdown will look like, you know. So right now, spiking yields might just be a repricing, but it turns into a financial meltdown when the market plumbing stops working and the central bank has to step in. And the UK went from one to the other really quickly, like in under a week in 2022. So what are the exits from the debt loop of doom? They are default, and no sovereign country who prints their own currency will ever allow a default. Another option is austerity. Austerity is political suicide, so that's not going to happen. Or the third option, which history says is what they're going to choose, or what they are choosing, is to inflate the debt away. So this makes the case for holding something that can't be printed. And of course, that is Bitcoin.
It's funny. I was just actually explaining this even before these stories began to break, and the bond market began to break. I was explaining this to someone at the barbershop just a week or two ago about how they were asking, "Oh, how's Bitcoin?" Yeah, because they know I work in the space, and they were like, "So, like, why? When's it going to go up? Why do you think it's going to go up?" And I walked them through. It's like, look, we have $40 trillion in debt. Like that's a fake number. Like it's just not even real to anyone. Here are their options. I laid out their options. I was like, what do you think they're going to do? And they're like, well, yeah, I guess they're not going to default, and they're probably not going to like cut back on Social Security, and they're probably not going to, it's like, yeah, exactly. So they're going to do that third option. They're going to print. And what's going to benefit from printing? everything that you can't print, right? So this is something, Tony, that we've been talking about for a long time. Feels like maybe we're actually kind of getting to, we're reaching like this tipping point. What's your take?
Man, I was giving it 5 years, but it looks like we're way ahead of schedule. to put it simply, I mean, the alarm bells are firing off, you know, in every direction. The fiat system is collapsing. I mean, these headlines are going to continue to pop up, you know, every other week, you know, in different jurisdictions, in different cities. But the problem, the underlying problem is the same. The money is garbage. Nobody wants to hold it anymore. And they understand that the risk of doing so is extremely high, which is why you see these insane numbers on the screen. When the number gets bigger, you know, just to keep it simple, that means that the problem is more severe. It's not good news. It's terrible news. And so for the countries that can't print their money, like you said earlier, Katie, they're going to continue doing it. So they will not default on that. But that money printer means your purchasing power keeps going to zero. And there's going to come a point in time where nothing you have is going to be worth anything meaningful. And so again, we Bitcoiners have been, you know, sounding these alarms for 17 years. But I think everyday news headlines are making more folks actually believe that this wasn't just a bunch of crazy people trying to sell something. This was a genuine warning that now is hitting deep pockets. And so no one's coming to save anyone. You know, this has been our message since a very long time. And the only way to fix this is to get off that sinking Titanic. Because these headlines, they show up every 2 weeks on average. You'll probably see them every day very, very soon. Get out of things of money, of fake money that can be printed or confiscated or controlled by a bunch of crazy lunatics, because that's exactly what the fiat world is. And, you know, fortunately, there's only one option. So you don't have to really break your head into this. Bitcoin in full self-custody, or if you're like a gold bug and you still, you know, prefer these traditional physical assets, it's not as good as Bitcoin because we are living in a digital age, but it is better than a worthless piece of paper that is going to evaporate, you know, much quicker than most people realize.
Tony, that's the kindest thing I've ever heard you say about gold, but I agree with you. Bitcoin is the better option. But to Tony's point, proper self-custody, we can train you. Click the link below. You can schedule some time with our team. We can walk you through how you take proper self-custody, run a node, learn how to use Bitcoin the right way the first time. Guys, up next and related, money printing. The money printer is going burr. Global broad money supply surged by $10.7 trillion year over year in June, or 7.7% to a record $150 trillion, blah, blah, blah. I think you get the point. The interesting thing, though, this is coming out of Argentina. So leftist lawmakers are upset that Argentina is looking to move to limit money printing. Katie, I would love your take on this. I'll be honest with you. I'm skeptical of just because they write down on a piece of paper that the government can't do something doesn't mean it stops. I'm personally very skeptical of Javier Milei. I know a lot of people are huge fans of him because he pretends to be an anarchist and everything. I don't buy the act personally, but I would love your take on what's happening here.
Well, normally more money means more buying of everything, including bonds. So when the broad money supply goes up, it tends to push yields down. At least that's what happened in 2020 and 2021, we saw M2 money supply exploding, but the Fed was doing the buying. So the yields didn't spike the way that they're spiking right now. But today, M2 is at all-time highs and the yields are spiking. So the money is there. It just isn't going into long-dated government debt. It's sitting in deposits. It's sitting in money market funds and short-term bills. So what that means is people are happy to hold the currency for, say, 3 months at 5%. They are not happy to lend it to the state for 30 years. And this is what fiscal dominance looks like. And it will eventually force a central bank back into the market as a buyer, which is the point where the money supply really starts to take off and you get that kind of debt spiral occurring, because more money, no trust in governments, thus no buyers of the debt. So more money is printed and so on and so forth until something breaks definitively. With regard to Milei, and I'll also say that tweet that you showed, there's actually quite a funny video that goes with that. The people in Parliament, like, they created, they started fisticuffs in Parliament over this. Like, they were angry. So Milei's new legislation regarding the charter of their central bank means that Argentina is trying to legislate their way out of this trap. I mean, they've already lived through what it leads to. They've suffered, I think it was like 300% inflation in 2024 or something. You know, it's the same disease, but it's at two different stages. And the problem is that a rule against printing money is only as strong as the political will to keep it going when the next crisis hits, which, again, makes the case for hard assets where rules can't be changed by politicians.
Well said. It's so sad, though, to see this, that this is the state of affairs, the complexity of everything that you're describing that most people, I don't think, understand, when we could just have a Bitcoin standard and we wouldn't have to report on any of this stuff. But Tony, what do you think? Tony, I'm curious. Do you think, do you have an opinion of Javier Milei?
I don't believe anything he says, or any politician for that matter. I mean, I give this, you know, Christmas present a 1% chance of actually happening, because you are dealing with an ocean of corrupt parasites that have existed for a very long time, whose only, you know, only way of surviving is by, you know, extracting wealth through that money printer. And so to have someone all of a sudden come here and tell them, no, you can't steal anymore, while essentially he's putting them out of business. And I, you know, historically speaking, that doesn't usually end well. With regards to the increased money supply, you know, to simplify what that means is that you're getting poorer. More money printed out of thin air, that means your purchasing power keeps accelerating towards zero. And when the whole system breaks because no one wants to hold that rubbish because the risk is too high, well, then you get, you know, what eventually leads to a debt spiral where, you know, hyperinflation takes place, you know, the money breaks, there's no faith or trust in anything, and absolute chaos and mayhem becomes, you know, the next step forward. So all of this is really, really terrifying news for someone who is just sitting on the sidelines. Also, an increased money supply for all the number go up, maxis. This is very good news for you, because usually, you know, there is a certain percentage of folks, you know, that are going to get out of the way. And, you know, Bitcoin is usually one of the first places they go because of its liquidity. It's available 24/7. No one can stop you from using it. And so anyone with any common sense who's focusing on, you know, this disastrous global news on a regular basis is going to put at least a certain percentage, an increased certain percentage of their savings or assets into something that cannot be destroyed by these parasites. We've been warning about this again for 17 years, man, but now the world is the best marketing team for those who are still not paying attention, or perhaps chose to ignore it, thinking, you know, it's just a conspiracy theory.
Well, Tony, you might be getting poorer if you're operating on a fiat standard, but at least you can do what you want with, you can't do what you want with your money. Never mind. I forgot. The European Union is going to start confiscating people's savings, telling them where they have to put their money. This is a great tweet from the Bitcoin Way. So this is Ursula von der Leyen. She's saying the quiet part out loud. They will confiscate. The only way to protect yourself from this is to have money external to the system, because if it is in a bank or a brokerage or anywhere else, there's nothing you can do about it. Related, Ireland is now excluding Bitcoin and crypto from its tax-sheltered accounts, so any direct crypto holdings face the standard 33% tax. Tony, we talked a little bit about this on our live stream earlier in the week, not the Ireland story, but specifically Miss Ursula. What's your reaction to all of this? Certainly not surprise, I would imagine.
It's amusing, because we've been saying this for a very long time, that one, it's not money, it's fake paper, and two, it's not yours. And, you know, a lot of people, of course, were the crazy conspiracy theory folks. But now, you know, the people behind that worthless paper are backing us up. They are becoming our front-run marketing team, you know, confirming that this is not crazy talk. This is actual reality. And so your savings now in the EU are at a very, very high risk of being redirected to something you have no control over. And this is a reality. These people are petrified. They are losing control over a system that they thought would never be threatened. But as of 2009, here comes along an idea whose time has come, and that, you know, they just cannot stop it. And so all of these headlines are a result of that currency. Bitcoin in full self-custody. Ireland is trying to incentivize folks to stay away from it. You know, they are including everything under the sun to keep you dependent on that illusion of garbage that they know their people still think has value. And they're excluding the actual thing that sets them free. These things are going to continue happening. But, you know, it takes enough people to read between the lines and to just ignore all of it. None of this is good news. This is, in fact, the worst possible place you can find yourself in. And if you don't want to deal with your corrupt governments and all that, there are options to leave, right? Like, not everyone has the will or the means to sit and fight. And for those people, there are options to just exit the building. And so if that's the case, give us a call, man. There's a lot of people coming from all parts of the world looking for places that are not going to harass them and try to keep them hostage in a cage that has absolutely no good incentives for them.
Yeah, Tony, you took the words right out of my mouth. Click the link below. You can learn about our Plan B residency program in Panama. Freedom-loving jurisdiction, tropical, by the way. And if you you join us, you get to meet Tony as well. So lots of reasons to consider getting the hell out of the European Union. Katie, as someone who is a bit closer to the action on these stories, I would love to hear your take. Are people paying attention to what's going on? Or is this just like another 24-hour news cycle bit? What's your assessment?
I don't think that your average person, at least where I live, they're more interested in the football than what is potentially going to happen to their money, their savings and investments. So everyone's favourite EU bureaucrat, von der Leyen, is at it again. This is happening because Europe needs an additional $800 billion a year to invest in defense, because they haven't been investing in defense, energy and digital infrastructure. But we are seeing the problem play out in real time right now with these bond yields spiking. How can they continue to issue more debt in this environment? So what's another source of fund? EU citizens' private savings. So the EU, in contrast to the US, EU citizens hold a lot more wealth in currency deposits than, say, Americans do. So Americans tend to hold or direct their savings into the stock market. And when Europeans do actually invest money, it does tend to go offshore, say, to the US market. So the problem that we have in the EU is that people are rightly suspicious of investing their money in Europe. I mean, the returns are not great and they've been burned before. So, you know, that's why they prefer to hold cash. And that's incredibly damning if you think about it. You know, people are saying, I'd rather hold your melting ice cube than invest it in anything that you have to offer. So like we saw with that the story about Ireland, EU countries now have to incentivize this investment with things like tax-advantaged investment accounts. Now, of course, if you want to hold a hard asset like Bitcoin in self-custody, well, you will attract punitive taxes because they want to dictate where your money goes. They definitely don't want you holding something that you control. I mean, otherwise, how is the EU going to fund their wars? I mean, you know, and this is a program that has failed before and it will fail again. And then where does that leave them? If the carrot doesn't work, you bring out the big stick. You know, you inflate debt away, you force people's pensions to be invested into whatever scheme you want them to be invested in, and you pay them below market rates. You issue digital euros that prevent citizens from saving anything. You can charge people to hold their money in the bank, or you can just outright implement capital controls or, you know, eventually seizures. So, you know, maybe they aren't going to take your money immediately. This is just the start, but that's where it goes.
Well said. All righty, guys. We got more from the EU government regulations. So we got a few stories here that are all sort of related. So first and foremost, the European Commission has designated ChatGPT. This is hilarious. Katie, you're going to have to explain what the hell they're talking about. ChatGPT is, quote, a very large online search engine, and Reddit and Roblox are, quote, very large online platforms under the new Digital Services Act. So they have more compliance and go figure. So we'll get to that in just a moment. Related, Spanish Prime Minister Pedro Sanchez is taking several measures. He lists all of these against social media companies, Grok, TikTok, Instagram. And then, again, related, the UK economy, according to Burnham, the UK economy requires more public control. That's how they're going to grow their way out of the mess that we have been describing throughout this Bitcoin banter. So, Katie, let's start with the first this European Commission story. Can you explain what a very large online search engine is?
Yeah, I can try. So in the EU, any search platform that has more than 45 million users, self-reported, must be designated as a very large, am I getting this right? A very large online search engine. And that means a whole bunch of, new rules that they have to comply with. You know, this is all just another tentacle of the same beast. You know, the only thing that these EU bureaucrats know how to do is regulate, and then regulate some more. So that's why we either have a bottle cap stuck up our nose when we drink a bottle of water, or we're sucking it through a soggy paper straw while they're flying to Davos on private jets. I mean, that perfectly summarizes the EU for me. It's a bunch of hopeless bureaucrats who hate anything that might enhance our lives. So don't be fooled, because the end goal here is censorship, plain and simple. So they want to regulate the information that we can access, but they couch it in things that are very hard to argue with. And, you know, we see this happening everywhere, like, for example, preventing the proliferation of objectionable material. The problem is, once it's all in place, any unflattering meme about von der Leyen or Pedro Sanchez might then be considered objectionable material.
This is insanity. And you actually prompted me to remember, when every time I come see you guys in Prague, those water bottles drive me insane. Like, they, like, truly, the caps, if anyone hasn't been to Europe and had a plastic water bottle, it's the most ridiculous thing you've ever seen. Tony, I think they're basically selling our plan B for us. I don't know why people would stick around a place like this any longer.
Man, these guys are petrified, and they really have zero idea what to do anymore, because whichever attempts they go for is, you know, always at some point blowing up in their face. And now they're going to more and more extreme measures, hoping that any of it is going to stick. None of these people are accustomed to real competition. That's the problem. Like, they've never had to think. They've only existed to extract by doing nothing. Like, the only value these people have is to steal from citizens. And their only hope in hell is that there's a large amount of these citizens that remain clueless to what's actually going on. These digital cages, these extreme measures are, you know, the direct signs of a failing system that is going out of business and is, you know, living on borrowed time and on its way to irrelevance, as far as I'm concerned. However, until that day actually happens, it could be a living nightmare as people, you know, progress through that hell. I don't know how we avoid chaos and violence in the EU once people really click as to what's going on. Right now, you know, things are pretty calm because a lot of folks have no idea. But, you know, that changes very, very quickly. And when that breaks, you know, that's what I lived through, you know, for 9 months. The EU is a much larger place, and there's a lot more people with, you know, a lot more crazy ideas than we had back in Lebanon. But again, these are systems that are trying to remain relevant in a world where they're not needed anymore. And so people need to understand this. And the education needs to reach the masses who need them the most. Again, hard assets that cannot be, you know, stolen, confiscated, manipulated, printed out of thin air are the only exits, as far as I'm concerned. The traditionalists will stick to things they know, gold and silver, but I'm telling you, these are just relics in a digital world. Everyone's going to be forced at some point to do two things. One, to level up their computer skills, because otherwise you are going to become a victim of something in a world with prevalent AIs. And two, you are going to have to learn what Bitcoin really is, which is money that you fully control outside the, you know, the grip of parasites that are always going to do whatever they can to separate you from it and to continuously extract your time and energy, you know, for as long as they possibly can.
I think that's very well said. Okay, we're getting to our Bitcoiner of the Week. First, make sure you have smashed that like button. Be sure you subscribe to our channel. We would really appreciate that. Help us feed the algorithm. Okay, guys, so this is our Bitcoiner of the Week is Francis. I'm going to get the last name wrong. We were practicing this before, but it's something like Bulio. With the T is not silent, I think is what I'm learning. But anyway, so Bull Bitcoin, he's the CEO of Bull Bitcoin. They've been challenging the court in the EU over their dangerous mass surveillance program for crypto users. And he tweeted, so he brought this back to our attention. Round two has begun. So they are continuing this fight. My take on this is an incredibly important fight. We need companies who are going to stand up publicly and take a stand against all of this nonsense, specifically when it's going to impact Bitcoiners in particular, but certainly crypto users. We've seen a lot of this in, you know, with France, everything going on with wrench attacks because of a lot of nonsense. This isn't specifically what they're fighting, but Tony, I think we can all appreciate everything that Francis is working on.
Yeah, 100%, man. As far as I'm concerned, Francis is a hero and his efforts should be commended and backed up by a lot more people. What these crazy fools are trying to do here is design an insane surveillance state because they believe this is what they're going to keep them in control and in charge of everything. But what that does is it endangers everyone who is in that system because these clowns can't protect anything. The hacks, the leaks of all your data are eventually going to find their ways in the hands of the wrong folks. And that is a nightmare to deal with. The poor people in France, have experienced this, you know, firsthand. No one wants to live through this. So unless you're in a position to protect yourself properly, not talk, protect yourself the way you're supposed to, well, you know, you are at massive risk of at some point, all of that data for your protection that, you know, you were led to believe is going to be weaponized against you. So what he's trying to do is put an end to it because now it's going to levels never seen before. And that is extremely concerning because, of course, you know, the first target, the first line of people that are, you know, in on that radar are Bitcoiners because, again, they are the ones who are exiting the system. And the more people who do that, well, then again, that system dies because of irrelevancy. And these parasites have nothing to do anymore, nothing to steal anymore. That is a problem for them that they are desperately trying to prevent. I don't think it's going to work because, you know, they are doing the marketing for the existence of Bitcoin in self-custody. And it doesn't take 100% adoption. It just takes enough people to lead the way, to show their results, and then the rest will follow. And of course, necessity will always be the best motivator and best teacher. And that day is coming a lot quicker, unfortunately, than I thought.
Unfortunately, I think you are right about that, Tony. Katie, again, you're closer to the action. What's your take on what Francis is doing?
For anyone that doesn't know, Bull Bitcoin is a platform where you can buy and sell Bitcoin only, and they do not custody anything for you. It's all done directly through your own addresses. They actually have a really great service. It's not available to everyone, but it is available to EU users. And what's happening is they are challenging this in a French court. They're challenging the French government over these DAC 8 regulations, which Tony explained is like mass surveillance at a really horrific level. And there's going to be so much data sharing. So it allows them to share the exchanges or anyone designated as a exchange in Europe will then have to send all of the data, even if it doesn't relate to taxation, to the tax authorities. And that is also shared among every single country in the EU. So it's like a multi-point sharing of information. And we already know, we have seen what's happened with the French government as one example in the past, where there's been multiple data breaches, or there's even been instances of people who work for the government selling data of people on, you know, in the black market. So they are challenging this. I mean, this is a David and Goliath scenario for sure. So these guys are funding this fight all themselves when they could just sit back and run their business and quietly comply with everything that they are told to do. And they say in their own words, they will not submit without a fight, you know, and I think that's very impressive.
Absolutely. So kudos to Francis and the team. I know a couple of people on the team, and they're doing some excellent work. So good for them. Guys, this has been a blast as always. I'm going to redirect all of our listeners to a couple of links below. First of all, if you're interested in learning about how we can help you take proper self-custody, our Plan B residency, we've got those links. You got to check out our newsletter as well. We have a fantastic newsletter that comes out every Sunday. You're going to learn a lot. Got some great funny memes, very enlightening, and very, very fun way to wrap up your weekend. And of course, make sure you smash that like button, subscribe to the channel if you haven't already, but appreciate everyone being here, tuning in. And Tony, Katie, always a pleasure speaking with you both.
Thanks, guys. Until next time.
Thanks, guys.
Cheers.